And today we have guests in the studio. Why don't you tell us who our guests are, Chris?
Well, we're talking with a couple of folks from NAMI Far North. That's the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And we have with us Dawn Mara, and she's board president, correct?
Correct.
Yes. And Gabriel Custodio. And you go by Gabe, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. He's the executive director of the, what we call the clubhouse, but the Sand Creek Connection.
Sand Creek Connections.
That's right. And we're going to get in and dive into what that is, and plus a lot of stuff about NAMI and the whole issue, or the whole, I don't know, it seems like almost an epidemic of people that are suffering from some form of mental illness.
Yeah. It's very important that we know about this because this is our world.
Yeah.
And it's important to support each other.
Yeah. It's not necessarily even mental illness all the time. Sometimes it's mental health, I think, is what we're going for, because there are so many stresses now in our daily lives. But we'll swing back on that. And
okay.
People who know better about it will be talking.
That sounds good.
Let's get into today's interviews. It's again, we're speaking with two folks from NAMI Far North. We have with us the board president of NAMI, the local chapter, Dawn Mara. And Dawn, say hi.
Hi, everyone.
just so they get a fix on your voice there. And Gabe Custodio, he's the executive director of the Sand Creek Connection. Gabe.
Right. Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Well, assuming there might be a listener or two out there that isn't familiar with NAMI, Dawn, why don't you jump in with, tell us, what is NAMI and how long has it been around here as a local chapter?
Sure, sure. NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness, has been around since 59 or 50, I think. No, 70, sorry. And it is the largest grassroots organization in the nation. We opened our affiliate in 2007. So we've been around for a while.
Yeah, that's 18 years.
Yeah.
Doing the math, yeah.
Yeah, and I've been around, I discovered NAMI about 9 years ago, and it's been a good experience. That their mission is to support, the national mission is to support and educate and advocate and create awareness for people that live with a mental health challenge or an illness or disease. And they do what they say. They train their leaders. They're all volunteers. They're also have a very fine script for when they train, so that all of the leaders that are educated to support and educate have the same, they're throwing out the same information. It's very well regulated.
Mm-hmm.
And respected.
Mm-hmm. How many chapters are there in
Over
Idaho?
A thousand. In Idaho,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
five.
There's
a state branch that kind of keeps an eye on us, and then, well, they help us as well.
Mm-hmm.
And about four or five others, depends on the county.
Mm-hmm.
It's volunteer-led, so you know how that goes.
Right.
It can vary with...
It can vary with the energy of the volunteers that are behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been involved since...
I think 2000-something, 19, 20, right before COVID.
Okay.
Everything is a blur before then.
Oh, yeah, right. No, okay. Yeah, COVID, one of those marking points in our lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
The thing, life before and life after. So what kinds of programs does NAMI offer?
I think our strongest programs are the education series we do for families, because as you know, it's one thing to have a mental health condition, but it's another to live with someone that does, or be around or work with someone that does. So we offer these amazing, juicy, educational 8-week free presentations from volunteer leaders that are trained, but they have this lived experience that they add to the script. And that way it doesn't get stale, and I think that it's the best thing we have to educate families, because they don't get education from their loved one's therapist or psychiatrist. They don't know enough about anything, really. So we teach also communication skills. So people with mental illness can have thought interruptions, and it's really hard to communicate, as you might know from your own experience.
Mm-hmm. what's the, I don't know if you have numbers locally here, but what how many?
That's a good question.
What percentage of people are struggling with a you know, mental health problem or issue?
It's on the tip of my tongue. 1 in 5
20%.
had or maybe live with a mental health condition, or maybe they've had a challenge. It can vary in severity, right? I mean, mm-hmm. we wake up one day, we're a little depressed, but some people have, or are really happy. Mm-hmm. I'd like to say that too. And then we have the 1 in 20 who can maybe have a problem that costs them a little bit of function here and there. So they lose their job, or they lose their connection, or maybe they don't have a home now because their anxiety has created this problem in their life where they can't be somewhere. So those 1 in 20, if you think about it, you know.
Or 1 in 5.
Well, the 1 in 20 are the ones that are serious. Mental illness.
Okay,
those are the ones that NAMI people are usually called to help.
Mm-hmm.
Either the people that live with them or the families.
Mm-hmm.
That, when you do the math, is about 4,000 people in Bonner and Boundary County, which is where NAMI Far North serves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is a pretty sizable number of people.
It's actually 4,000. My husband always corrects me.
Yeah.
He's like, why don't you say that number? Well, it sounds like so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's indicative of the need that NAMI's, you know, working to help with.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that the problem with the 1 in 20 is that the people that live with the challenges or conditions, they are often not really seen, or if they are, they're seen in a way where they haven't had treatment. And so we often don't see they're hidden diseases. When you break your leg, you've got a pin or a cast or some brace or something. When you break your brain, you're not really wearing a cast on your head. So no one sees what's going on. And that's why 1 in 20 sounds really staggering, because you're not looking at it. I mean, mm-hmm. and people aren't going to tell you, oh, I'm recovering from a thought disorder called schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have major depression. I haven't been out of my house in about a year. Mm-hmm. No one's going to tell you that. So mm-hmm. you just don't see it. And you also don't see the people that are fortunate enough to become treated and go into remission, or maybe they're just really well controlled with their bipolar disease or something. They don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough. And that, I think that leads to stigma and discrimination as well, because if they
there is stigma still around.
There's
stigma. The whole concept of mental illness, like, what's wrong? Buck up, buddy, right? But it's not always that easy.
That's a good, that's a good one. I hear that a lot, the can't and the won'ts. Mm-hmm. Some people just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a mechanism in the brain that these things are real. They're medical problems.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like NAMI Far North, or NAMI in general in the country, part of the mission is to dissolve the misnomers and the stigma around mental illness in general, because it's a full spectrum. It's from I can't do this to I'm debilitated. Maybe connecting resources on a, mm-hmm. like a social
work
level.
We do that as well. I didn't really finish, right? Uh-huh. We do, besides education, we create a lot of support groups through our new program too, but also for families. And we also do advocacy and awareness events that in the aiming to decrease stigma. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I gotta say, you've been pretty successful in raising awareness in the community about
NAMI. I'm kind of loud.
What's that?
for as short as I am, I think I'm very loud.
Yeah, well, that's an asset with what you're trying to do here. Tell us about how do people achieve rehabilitation?
Yeah, that's a good one, and I think that's half of what we do now, really half. So there's a hidden success of mental illness treatments, and often, as I said, people aren't going around saying that their therapy works. And a lot of times what we decided when we sat down and did our strategic plan was that we were helping a lot of people, okay? But we weren't really serving the people that were living with mental health conditions very well, because there is nothing that, yeah, we have this treatment system where you see a psychiatrist, you can go to the hospital, you can get therapy and things like that. And that really helps. That is the stability component. We have to have that, just like a surgeon needs to fix a broken bone. But what we didn't have, and we still don't in this whole nation really enough of, is rehabilitation. And how, the more we looked into it, the more we thought, what is going on? We have physical therapy, but we don't have mental therapy. And we call that psychosocial rehabilitation. Because the brain takes, so much longer to heal than a broken bone, way more than 8-12 weeks. And where do people go during that time? So often they've lost their connections, they've lost their home, or they've lost their purpose. So we call that the three Ps, the people, place, and purpose. And the reason there isn't any rehabilitation, in my opinion, is that we're missing a fourth P. Do you know what that is?
I'm failing the quiz here.
Payment.
Oh, money.
Yeah, there's nobody paying for rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. So insurance, Medicaid, it's tough. There's very individualized rehabilitation, but there's nothing like the cost-effective mentorship that we see that's evidence-based around the nation that isn't being used really that much, especially in red states. So we found a model called Clubhouse International, and they have, obviously they're global. They have over 400 now, maybe a little less than 400 accredited, so standardized clubhouses where people actually can rehabilitate and go back into the in their community, which really ultimately we do want that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we want them to be able to have their people, place, and purpose. And I think that this is a really good place to...
For Gabe to jump in, because Gabe, you're the executive director of now of the, what you're calling the Sand Creek Connection.
We facilitated this, we opened in November. And Gabriel, I found him on the streets. not really.
The mean streets of Coeur d'Alene.
No, literally, he was the only applicant for, we grant fundraised through our community, individual donors, and lots of foundations to get enough do re mi to get this thing open for at least a year. Mm-hmm. And we're doing great. And when we interviewed all these very eager people, Gabriel was the only one that actually went to a Clubhouse International to look and see, like, what is this job description? Because it's very multifaceted. Mm-hmm. So he is our executive director.
Right. Like Don said, I honestly had no idea what Clubhouse International was when, but, you know, at the time I was looking for a new opportunity and saw this, you know, ad on Indeed, applied for it. Don told me, if you're interested, go look at the clubhouse in Spokane Valley. It's Evergreen Clubhouse. That's the closest one that we have here. I spent half a day there and I was just blown away. I couldn't pass up this opportunity to apply and interview to be part of, you know, the grassroots and start up such a, you know, crucial part of rehabilitation. So like Don said, it is the space we're trying to occupy is the time that the members or these individuals that are living with serious mental health issues have after they do their good work with their therapist or their psychiatrist. So typically, you know, someone may get an hour, maybe two if they're lucky, a week with their therapist, with somebody who's professionally accredited, right? But afterwards, you know, what do they do? A lot of the time we see they go back to isolation is a huge issue. So they can go back to either bad habits or, you know, feeling isolated and away from people and obviously being alone and not having that support. So that's what we're trying to create here, is a safe space where people can continue to work on themselves and continue to work on whatever part of their recovery journey they are on. So like Don mentioned, that's what we're trying to do is provide meaningful, healthy connections for them and create those habits, create a safe space where there's no stigma and no misinformation about mental health. Ultimately, you know, help people regain their purpose in life, whether that's through gainful employment, advocacy, you know, or going back to school, whatever it is they want to achieve.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Gabe, as you're new to town and in a brand new position, just minted, tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah. So I went to school for psychology, and actually for grad school, I was doing sports psychology, which in my interview process, like, well, sports psychology, what is that, right? I've always wanted to, you know, work with athletes and teams and that. But one of my internships during grad school, we worked with at a juvenile a detention facility, basically. So I worked with at-risk youth, underserved youth, and youth with mental health issues. So that kind of opened my eyes and, you know, introduced me to this field, which eventually led me to work with young adults. I had some experience with case management for children ages 4 to 18 and their families. And then most recently before this, I was working as a program manager for people who, you know, providing people with supported living services, so people who had developmental disabilities. So that's kind of my background.
And how long have you been in North Idaho?
Just about 10 years now.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Getting to be almost a local. I
mean, right, right.
There's always a discussion. What makes you a local, right? So, can you describe what the physical clubhouse is, where it is, and you know, what kind of facility is it?
Yeah, it's a really good location. It's on North 4th Avenue, so right near Safeway and right across Sandpoint Psychotherapy. It's a nice little spot there. It used to be a counseling office, so some of the therapists that we've actually toured, they were like, oh, this used to be my office. And some of our members said, yeah, I used to get therapy here. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice space. It's The goal is to make it, you know, kind of informal in a way and not clinical, you know. So it's very warm and welcoming. It's a very warm and welcoming space. Right now it's perfect. The size is perfect for our purposes. Just, you know, 3 or 4 rooms. And then we have some, you know, a nice outdoor space as well there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, typical day in the life of the Sand Creek Connection Clubhouse.
Right. So typical day is we follow what we call the work order day. And what that is following the Clubhouse International model, the work order day is the main intervention or main support method of the model. And basically what that is we are trying to simulate a typical work day, that one that a person would get in the community. So a typical 9-to-5 schedule. Right now our schedule is 10-to-4. We try to implement those 3 P's that we talked about, right, through meaningful work. So it's never just busy work with the members there. I always tell our members and try and reinforce that this clubhouse, it's their clubhouse, and it wouldn't be possible to run it without members. So basically, they are running the show. So everything from, you know, simple tasks like keeping the place looking nice and neat to more complex things like preparing and serving meals for one another that, you know, further creates a sense of community. We have members that are interested in running our social media account, creating brochures and flyers. I was actually interviewed by a team of members, mm-hmm. Along with Don and the launch director. But that's kind of where we are. Like, we want members to be involved in all facets of running the clubhouse. So it's from everything from the simplest things to like decision making as a whole. This clubhouse is for and by the members.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about members, is it an open door policy, or is it a referral, or you kind of join into the group in some way, screening process?
Yeah, that's a great question. We started off with mostly referrals. So we do have a memorandum of agreement with Kiniksu. And the local, you know, we've done presentations with, you know, a lot of the providers in the area. So they've been great. They've been referring people to us. And as we've steadily grown, members have been spreading the word as well. They've been advocating for themselves, and, you know, word of mouth is pretty, you know, pretty powerful. So a lot of the members are bringing in some of their friends that they know may benefit from it as well. Through the other programs of NAMI, like the family support groups, they, you know, get to know that there's a program here, and maybe the family member that they are trying to support, they bring in as well. So it is, like you mentioned, it is pretty much right now an open door. Like, whoever is interested in joining, there's no real like eligibility requirement. You know, as long as you're 18 and above, and your life is affected by any kind of mental health challenge, then you're more than welcome to have support and be part of the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm. Chris asked what a typical day might look like.
Yeah.
How many folks would be at the clubhouse at the largest time?
Right.
Point in time.
Some of our more popular like activities, like our support circle and social rec, we can have upwards of, you know, about a dozen people, which in that space is kind of makes it a little cramped.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as a whole, for the days that we are open, we average about eight people daily, which is, you know, it's a steady growth from where we've started.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, they participate in the life of the clubhouse.
Yes.
And bringing them, as we talked about before we started this interview, a sense of belonging and community.
Yes.
And that's probably, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, definitely. So the three P's, again, we always go back to it, is that's our main goal, is to be able to help them reintegrate into the community through those three P's, right? So this, we like to think of the clubhouse as a launching pad and not a landing strip. This is not the end goal for our members, right? This is where they start off and go on. We'd love to see them to go on and do bigger and better things.
And they've already gone on, and that's the hardest part, is watching them leave.
Yeah. Some of our members are, thankfully very independent now, and you know, obviously we've come to be fond of them and fond of each other.
That's a success story, though. Yeah.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So those three P's that they do achieve through, you know, modeling and practicing in the clubhouse is translated out in the community. You know, the healthy social skills and habits that they may be practicing in the clubhouse, they can translate that out in the community, whether that's, you know, mending bridges with old relationships before, or forming new healthy relationships and finding their people out in the community. And then the you know, place they know now what kind of environment that they will be successful in, and where they feel safe and comfortable. So that's the place part of it. And then the purpose, you know, once they find, I guess, their niche, their calling, what they're really interested and passionate about, then they can, you know, kind of translate that. And that kind of falls into one of our other main programs, which is, you know, our employment support. And that's where we try and help them, those interested, find more like purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw out a couple of times that there is a website with a ton of information on it, and a good way to start a connection, and that is namifarnorth.org, namifarnorth.org. So folks can check that out. They're listening right now. And if there is a family member that's being affected by a mental health challenge, from, you know, a kid or a spouse or a cousin, do they come and participate in some of the programs? Are things are aimed at family members, not just folks that are themselves
in the clubhouse? You mean?
Yeah,
they are welcome. Yeah. Of course, we've had some more of the social rec activities, though. Mm-hmm. Like, we've had parties, the 4th of July party, block party. We've had members come in and bring their family, which is great because they tour their families to the clubhouse and show them what they do. But for the activities itself, for the work order day, that's more for the
folks for their working on something. Yeah.
Right. But we do, for family members who are interested in learning more and being better at supporting their family members, we refer them to the other programs of NAMI that that Don mentioned a while ago.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Just want to remind our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY, your community radio station. It is listener supported. You can go to our website at krfy.org and find a donate button if you so choose. It's a good thing to support. And we're here speaking with Don Mara, president of the National Alliance of Mental Illness, NAMI Far North, that's called, and Gabe Custodio. He's the new executive director of the Sand Creek Connection. We're hearing all about the vital support that Sand Creek Connection gives in transition to folks with mental needs for support.
Mm-hmm. So I had the advantage of hearing you speak at the chamber last week, and I know that you also have an employment program to help people get reconnected. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, it's a very, very unique and effective program. You know, first and foremost, like, we really believe in this program. There have been a lot of studies through Clubhouse International showing that how effective it is. So with people who are in the program, in the employment support program, about 45% of people with serious mental health illnesses go on to have permanent and gainful employment with the support of the employment program. Compared to the national average of without the support, it's about 25%. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge, you know, significant mm-hmm. difference when you think about that. It's a very effective way of providing that support. It's also very unique in the sense that of how it's offered to our members. So there are three levels to it. Ultimately, the goal is to be able to support our members to be in the independent, we call it the independent employment stage of it. And some of our members, you know, have started, you know, in either that independent stage or supported employment where they kind of choose what kind of supports they need and or they feel. Excuse me, they feel that they that would benefit them. So we kind of, you know, we meet our members where they are in their stage of their recovery. What makes it really unique is the stage where it's called transitional employment. And what it is we help our members who want to, who may need more support and want to learn more, you know, job skills, create that job stamina, and are not fully ready yet to commit to maybe like a 40-hour week, typical work week. So it is a temporary placement in a part-time role. And what we do is we partner with local businesses and we tell them, hey, it's a win-win situation here. We, of course, want to support the local businesses as well and let them know that, hey, you'll have access to cost-effective labor here, and it's cost-effective in a lot of different ways. You know, since it's part-time, they won't need to pay for benefits and all that. And the recruitment process is more streamlined because they really would only need to train one person, and that would be myself or staff, and then we'll be in charge of training our members who will be in that role. And what makes it really unique is that we give them an assurance that, you know, if for any reason, you know, our member needs to miss work, you won't need to worry about finding coverage. We'll take their place and work their shift for you. And you don't need to, obviously, they don't need to pay us. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, it's unique in that way that it takes a burden off of the local business and it's kind of advantageous that way. But more importantly, you know, for our members, they're allowed to work in their own pace and their own journey, you know, and allow that kind of grace to not always worry about, oh, I'm having, you know, this mental health day or I'm feeling physically ill. but I'm worried about how they'll think. Maybe they'll think I'm lazy, or maybe they'll think I'm irresponsible. And that kind of lets them go into like a rabbit hole and a vicious cycle of, oh, I'm just not going to show up anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't want me there anyway. So that kind of helps alleviate that part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is there any funding for the transitional, maybe staff that would be helpful in these transitional employment positions? Outside funding?
Outside funding is definitely crucial. You know, that's
we've been waiting to talk about that. Oh, how long has it been? 25 minutes?
Well, I was thinking of government, like JETCA, Job Training Partnership
Act. We might, I don't know about the state right now. It's everything's okay. So changed.
Sure. Right.
So probably not at this point.
Yeah. 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 A lot of, you know, we've been fortunate to have a great leadership group. Our board of directors have done an amazing job raising funds for 2025. So we're good there. But for 2026, we're about, I'd say about 80,000 to 100,000 away from our goal to be secure for the year. It's difficult because it's all through grants and private donations, you know, foundations. And this community has been amazing. You know, a lot of people, a lot of groups have stepped up and really committed into helping, this cause. But the work's not done for mm-hmm. sure. Yeah.
So tell us more about how individuals can contribute. If someone's
Where's
listening.
Your wallet?
Yeah.
Checkbook, please.
Okay, we'll take a check. Yeah. What's really nice is a few of our donors have offered to support us for 2 to 3 years, 3-year commitment, small amount, doesn't matter, large amount, love that. That way it shows, you know, some commitment and sustainability to our grantors, because they're the bulk of our heavy lifting right now. And in the meantime, I'm actually trying to work with the senators and the representatives in Boise to open up a clubhouse code that's actually on Medicaid, but it needs to be activated in our state. So we're working on that. It might take another year or two, but that's in the process. It's an everyday thought.
Right. So through Medicaid, it would be... There'd be some funding.
Yeah, that makes the clubhouses more sustainable. I think it's 55% to 60% of the cost of the clubhouse can be, and the billing code is really strict. You know, you can't just open up a building and call it a clubhouse and bill Medicaid. It's not like that at all. Right. You have to be accredited to use this code. So we're working on making it standardized so the reps don't hate us.
How will the reduction in Medicaid funding affect that program?
I don't know. They don't like the word. Even an M word down there isn't really helpful. But I'm just going to keep working on. You know, I'm mm-hmm. short but loud. We'll figure it out. And Senator right. Woodward's going to help us, right?
Yes. Yeah. Another thing I want to add for obviously we're very grateful for all the financial support. But if people want to be involved and may not be able to support that way, we always welcome volunteers for sure. That can help in a number of ways, generate more activity for the clubhouse and more engagement from our members. So if anybody is interested in volunteering, they're more than welcome to reach out.
Possibly sharing your own expertise. We were talking about the drumming circle.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone knows how to put one of those together right. and how that gives a sense of community to the members when they're in the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. Chris and I were talking before. We haven't been to the club. I haven't been to the clubhouse. How does an outside member access maybe coming over
just
and
walk in?
Yeah.
Wow. It's
walk-ins
really...
are welcome. If you
they
do,
love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Show off.
So that's part. So we call it the daily task. We call it whiteboard material because we have a giant whiteboard in our conference room where the morning meeting, that's part of it is signing up for tasks that you want to do for the day. One of the tasks is being a tour guide / greeter. And yeah, a lot of the members do enjoy, kind of showing off the clubhouse and being a tour guide. But people walk-ins are always welcome. We have a sign that says walk-ins are welcome. But if people are more comfortable with setting up an appointment, they can always reach out to me. Our contact information is on the website. You know, I can leave contact information as well here. But yeah, some people are more comfortable with setting up a more private tour. That's perfectly fine too. Mm-hmm.
And your open times are 10 to 4?
10 to 4 is a work order day. Then 4 to 6 is kind of more of like the social rec or post-work activities. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there is some more information, including your schedule, on the NAMIFarNorth.org website. And there's a donate
created by yours truly.
You. Yeah. Keoki Publishing.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much.
They help everyone in town. It's amazing.
Yes, they do.
Including KRFY.
All right.
Well.
We have more questions, Don.
Oh, you
don't
do?
Don't leave.
I want to get my coffee.
Well, so you asked a question at the chamber meeting last week when you were speaking to the chamber members there. How many people in the room had been affected by mental health? By a family member or themselves, and almost everybody.
I was so surprised because even a year ago, there weren't that many hands up.
Right. People that, first of all,
maybe they didn't recognize it.
Maybe they didn't recognize it, right?
Right. You know,
and it made me stop and think, because I think, I feel fine most of the time, but I have been affected by it. I've experienced a young cousin that committed suicide. Mm-hmm. I had another cousin that, you know, I think he was schizophrenic. This was years ago. You know, I've had, you know, friends that have had issues too, depression. And I think if people stop to think about it, it's like, yeah, you know what? I have been affected by this. Virtually everybody has. It kind of makes me wonder if, you know, because we do have, it feels like, additional stresses in modern life.
It's complicated. I think we may be recognizing more than we did before because we know so much more about the brain now and what causes these mental illnesses. There's a kind of a biopsychosocial model that they've thrown out there and genetics, environment. That traumatic stressor can turn things on. So what's happening in the right now could be part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's probably are studies that can, and part of it, I'm sure the fact we are more open about talking about it too. There probably have been conditions that have been more hidden in our more recent past where people weren't willing to talk about it. So the problem is hidden more. Yeah.
I mean, we have gone through an evolution of knowledge that changed the, so when people are hearing voices, well, we thought that was the devil, right? And I think we get it now that there's some brain miswiring that's happening. It's not necessarily evil. Mm-hmm. It can be bad. Don't get me wrong. Like, people can become very paranoid and potentially violent, but that's a very small percent. And then just understanding that that personality change is the disease.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't something you've done or they've done.
Yeah. It's not something you can just say, I guess I'll stop doing that.
It's not like that.
You get trapped
into it. I've lived experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, the part of the reason this Clubhouse started up was I kept thinking, once I saw Clubhouse International Model, our board and I were like, wait a minute, what? Our families should have had this. I mean, for my family alone, we were the clubhouse for our kid, and we were underfunded and underskilled, and we didn't really know what we were doing. Somehow it had happened, but it didn't happen the way this is. This is magical. When you go in there, those members are bouncing off of each other with positiveness.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I've never seen. It makes me almost cry. When my daughter walked in, she did cry.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the potential, the hope that we're creating mm-hmm. for people's recovery. And a red state, they should be thinking about employment rates. Come mm-hmm. on, 45% more people paying taxes? Mm-hmm. That's huge, right?
Yeah.
That's how I put it down in Boise anyway.
Yeah, and getting off Medicaid eventually.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
The N-word.
I can't wait to get down there.
Statistics will help.
Oh, yeah. Well, Don Mira and Gabe Custodio, any last word? We are kind of be wrapping up here in a few minutes. Is there anything else that you want to make sure you let people know about?
There's two things. One is tonight there's a picnic at City Beach Pavilion, 5:30. We're going to serve Winter Ridge Natural Foods ground beef burgers. Thank you, Shauna and Greg Prommer. Wow, they are amazing over there. And that's free.
And they'll is be that a, for anybody that wants to
Well,
come?
Yeah, you have to be a NAMI friend. And now you are. You are definitely a NAMI friend.
All right. Well, thank you.
Kiyoki. Yeah. And there's also a family support group that happens after that. So anybody can come in the 5:30 to 6:30, and then we'll probably break off and do a little beach support group for families. And then October 4th, we're having a big mental health event. The kind of the 3 days before NAMI Walks is on the 4th, we're going to have a couple of speakers come in our town that will be really exciting to hear. But I'm not going to tell you about that now. You'll have to have me back.
Okay.
It's at Matchwood. Well, and Andrea's got awesome ideas for this event.
So Matchwood, just mark off October 4th as an upcoming event. Okay.
Yeah. And you are always welcome back. By the way, NAMI is an valued underwriter here at KRFY.
Oh, I forgot. Oh,
yeah, so thank you, NAMI.
Thank you, yes.
We support you, you support us. And, you know, the clubhouse is a place of hope.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing. So putting that together in our community, I'm getting a sense of it. I'm going to stop by because I think it's something to celebrate.
Yeah, that'd be great. You're more than welcome to stop by. Like I said, walk-in tours are always welcome for anybody who wants to, even if, you know, they're not interested in being a member per se, but, you know, just want to know what's up, you know, please feel free to stop by, because the more awareness we have, honestly, it's better for everybody as a whole.
And they'll make you lunch.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. We do have,
there
we
is
do
such
have some
a
pretty
thing
good
as
cooks.
A free lunch.
We do have some pretty good cooks. And yeah. And just one last thing I wanted to say is that we always talk about, Don and I always talk about, is the whole point of all these programs is we know for a fact that recovery is possible for people with serious mental health illnesses. Yes, some of them maybe lifelong challenges, but that doesn't mean that recovery is not possible for wherever they are in their life right now. We've just started our clubhouse, but we already have a lot of success stories. We have a member that's, you know, running two businesses right now and doing really well. And he, you know, has been for a long time homeless and now has a home. And, you know, it's amazing how the work that they do. It's awesome. Their journeys, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a place of hope, as I said, but it's also a significant picture of it takes a village.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That whole idea, mm-hmm. Because these are our people.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
And Don, I'm sure you're thrilled that you found Gabe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You. We love each other.
Yeah.
We bounce off of each other.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we want to thank you both for coming in.
Don
Mara, president of NAMI Far North, and Gabe Custodio?
Yeah,
you got it. The new executive director of the Sand Creek Connection, which is the clubhouse. So thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Anytime.